All of God's Word is given by inspiration. And if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to Proverbs 31. We'll be looking at that in just a few minutes. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. And there is absolutely no more influential or powerful role on the face of the earth than that of a mother. As significant as political, military, educational, religious, public figures are, none of them, all of them, pale in comparison to the impact of mothers. Our mothers' words are never fully forgotten. Their touch leaves an indelible impression. And the memory of our mothers lasts a lifetime. Isn't that true? I ask you, where on the face of the earth is anything that influential? Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." Let me share with you some affirmation testimony that I came across this week. Listen to these affirmations. The bearing and training of a child is mother's wisdom. Alfred Lord Tennyson. Men are what their mothers made them. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Thou art thy mother's glass, and she in thee calls back the lovely April of her prime. William Shakespeare. Youth fades, love droops, the leaves of friendship fall. A mother's secret hope outlives them all. Oliver Wendell Holmes. A mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. I like that one. Dorothy Cranfield Fisher. A mother's love shapes her son's sense of belonging to the world. William Wordsworth. I remember how I clung to her until I was a great big fellow. But love of the best of womanhood came to me and entered my heart through those apron strings. The words of President Woodrow Wilson. And then the words of President George W. Bush when he was the governor of Texas, the very first declaration or resolution that he introduced to the Texas State Senate. Resolved, the most famous mother in Texas, beloved and admired throughout the nation, Barbara Bush, is a special treasure to the citizens of Texas, and Mother's Day is an appropriate opportunity to express our gratitude to her for her many contributions made to this state. From the Word of God, Solomon writes of a godly mother and a godly wife as he writes chapter 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family, portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff, grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor, extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. He makes linen garments and sells them, supplies merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs at the day to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her her reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Her children rise and call her blessed. That's what we do today. That's a busy woman, isn't it? A busy mother, a busy wife. But it's descriptive of so many. And I thought about that as I read Irma Bombeck's piece again this year. And I want to read it to you again. Don't you miss her? I used to look to her witty comments on life as just a wonderful commentary on life. Let me read to you this piece that's become immortal to me, and I hope that it will continue to be published. I haven't looked at the papers today, but it's When God Created Mothers. And it sounds almost like the same busy description of motherhood that Solomon describes. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And the Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And 6 pairs of hands." And the angel shook her head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way, God. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pair of eyes mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. The Lord nodded. "One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head when she sees what she shouldn't, but she has to know. And of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, 'Hey, I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." "Lord," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "come to bed tomorrow." "I can't," said the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. I already have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of 6 on a pound of hamburger, can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed. "But tough," said the Lord excitedly. "You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think?" "Not only think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over, ran her finger across the cheek. "There's a leak here," she pronounced. "I told you, you were trying too much to put too much in this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it there for?" "It's for joy and sadness and disappointment and pain, and loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. The Lord looked somber. "I didn't put it there." He had a pithy way of putting things in a very beautiful way. Again, from the Word of God, "As is the mother, so is her daughter." A mother possesses tremendous influence. In a news magazine recently, these statistics were given for women in the 21st century. She outnumbers men for the first time in history. She outlives man by an average of 4.5 years. Women are the beneficiaries of 80% of all life insurance, spend 85% of the family income. And it has in brackets, I wouldn't say this, pretty well suggests what's done with the remaining 15%. Has a majority of the votes. Think about that with the upcoming election. 50% of all stock in the industrial corporation, 92 labor-saving devices in her home that should give her more leisure time than any other previous generation. Maybe she wouldn't be as busy as Proverbs 31 woman. But the greatest power the greatest power that a woman holds isn't something that's new to this generation. It is something that has been true of every generation. It's the power of motherhood. Let me share just a couple of things. Sir Walter Scott's mother was a lover of poetry and music. Lord Bacon's mother was a woman of a superior mind and a deep piety and faith in God. Patrick Henry's mother was given to eloquence in her speech. George Washington's mother formed his habits of orderliness and business. Not only does a mother have the privilege of living closely with her children, inspiring them towards higher things in the culture, but she has the opportunity to be their spiritual counselor, to be their chief example. I dare say that if I were to ask you this morning, where did you hear the gospel? Did you hear it from your dad, from your grandfather? Or was it from your grandmother or your mother, sitting on their lap, reading Bible stories together? Most of us would probably say it was from our mother or from our grandmother. And that rings true even in the New Testament. Paul, writing to his dear friend, young Timothy, who is a pastor, and he says this, "I thank God whom I serve for, as my forefathers did, recalling with tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you as well." I don't think it's any mistake that the good kings of Judah always have their mothers listed in the text. And you look at the great spiritual giants of the Old Testament and the New Testament, their mothers are incorporated into the scriptures. And I think that God has a purpose in that, showing the influence of godly mothering. You know, we live in a very different culture. And unfortunately, there are a lot of mothers out there that ridicule the scriptures. And when they do that, they don't know the impact that that will have on turning their children into atheists or agnostics, or a mother who ridicules the moral values, the traditional Christian values of the scripture, how that might influence a child to go down some very dreadful roads. But the opposite of that is true, and that's what we want to celebrate today. A mother who brings the truth of God's word, not only in teaching, but in example. Tremendous opportunity to mold the character of little ones, to produce a generation that rather than moving away from God, will move toward God. The greatness of Moses, I don't think, can be divorced from his mother. You remember, she was given to be his nursemaid during those formative years, when he lived ultimately in secret. Moses went on to identify with the people of Israel, to give up the luxuries and the education and the palatial life of Egypt for the hardships of being a Jew. I don't think the ministry of Samuel can be explained apart from Hannah's going before the Lord, asking for a child, then giving this baby back to God and saying, "God, I'll raise him in a way that will please you and honor you." There's a Spanish proverb that's humbling for a minister, but it's encouraging for you who are mothers. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. That's humbling. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. You can identify with this, and I can as well. Many a son, many a daughter have been on the edge of temptation, on the edge of the precipice, on the edge of going down a very destructive path, when they have remembered, this will not honor my mother. This will not honor my father. All of us have done that. The influence of godly mothering is unbelievable. Charles Dickens said, "The virtues of mothers will be visited on their children as well as the sins of their fathers. They say a man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields the power of the mighty scepter or lesser powers that be. But a mightier power and stronger man from his throne hath hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Mothers, you all have that kind of influence. There is no more powerful influence on the face of the earth than a godly mother. And that begins by your own personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him for salvation, trusting and entrusting your children into His care. I hadn't planned to do it, but I want to just close with the illustration that I've shared several times with you from Peter Marshall, who was the chaplain of the Senate years ago. Peter Marshall, in one of his Mother's Day sermons entitled "The Keepers of the Spring," tells a story about this ranger up in the hills above this little hamlet, whose sole job was to go around and to make sure the leaves and the algae and all of the scum was off of the water that flowed down from the mountain into the reservoir in the city that ran the factories, that went into the homes to provide water for drinking and for cooking and for other things. The city treasurer one day looked at his salary and said, "We can do without this guy." And they fired him. And it wasn't long before the water became foul and algae again became a part of the water system and sickness became a part of the community and illness became prevalent. And the council came together again and said, "We've got to go back and hire this keeper of the spring." So they rehired him. And once again, life turned to a beautiful way in this little hamlet. Peter Marshall went on to say to the women of his generation, this was back in the 40s or the 50s, right after the war, "You are the keepers of the spring. Our generation needs godly mothering, women who will be the keepers of the springs." Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the mother love of a Father God. We thank You for the gift of motherhood in our lives. And we do honor our mothers this day. And we do pray for our mothers that they would indeed be keepers of the spring, that they would be raising a generation of young women who will come behind them and be keepers of the springs in the days ahead. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day until Jesus comes again and even forevermore. Amen.